So 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 7. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Amen.
Today I want to talk to you, and we're going to be talking about three things, three ideas. If you're going to follow this Christian life, what it means to be a Christian, the apostle in this particular passage speaks to Timothy, who's just a young minister who's starting, and he wants to encourage him to really do well as a minister of the gospel and as a follower of Jesus. And he says there's three things. You first of all need to think about yourself as a soldier. And he thinks about the role of a soldier and what a soldier does. Then the second thing he says is, but sometimes you're not a soldier, sometimes you're like an athlete. You're getting ready to run a race. And then he says the third thing is this, you're like a farmer who's so excited when you've planted your crop, and you have to wait a long time, but then you see the harvest. And he says the Christian life is a bit like that. It's a bit like sometimes a fight, you've got to get prepared for it. All the things that's involved in being a soldier, loyalty and truth and integrity, and even being willing to sacrifice. You know, the greatest sacrifice that a soldier will give his life for the cause. And or he says, or you might be an athlete, and the athlete has to, you know, lay aside all the things that he wants to do sometimes in order to win the prize, in order to win the gold. And there's a real challenge in that. Or, as I say, the farmer who has to wait for a while. Work hard with great expectation, waiting to see if his crop will come. And the Christian life's like that. These three things. And that's what we're going to be thinking a wee bit about this morning. So I thought we'd just have a wee quick look at this video from Gladiator, and just listen to Russell Crowe's words of encouragement to his soldiers.
Patriots!
Let's go! Our
3 weeks from now, I will be harvesting my crops.
Imagine where you will be.
You might have missed that because I don't know what happened there, but whoever was mixing, not at the back, but whoever's mixing that clip in YouTube obviously liked the music more than Russell Crowe's lines, but his lines at the end were simply this: what you do in life echoes in eternity. So he was saying to his soldiers, get ready for a fight. You know, guys, every one of us today, there is a sense of a fight between good and evil. A fight between doing the right thing and doing the wrong thing. And you all know about that fight. Everybody in this church knows about that fight. But I think it might make sense to young people to know about fights. I know we're not supposed to fight. I know all about that. But also, I live in the real world, and I've been in schools, and I've been in school when you've been in school. Well, you think I've been, and I've seen what it's sometimes like in school, and it's not easy. There's always somebody there to pull you down. There's somebody maybe taunting you about even going to the boys' brigade, or somebody wanting you to do the wrong thing. And you've got to make a decision in your life, am I going to do the right thing or not? Am I going to just go with the crowd? And it's the easiest thing in the world to go with the crowd, isn't it? You don't need any strength at all. You just collapse and you just go with what everybody's doing. Fine, I'm easy. Or you become the joker in the pack and you just joke around and you fool around and you never really think about what you're wanting to do. You know the right thing to do, but you think, that's too hard. Isn't that right? And you see, that's what a soldier's like. Sometimes when a soldier has to fight for something, he has to stand his ground. Some of you had even, I know some of you have been choosing songs, and one of you said, can you get Mr. Bogle to do something from Johnny Cash? You know, there's a great Johnny Cash song, and I don't think we can put it up because I've not told Ray about it, but it's a Johnny Cash song. It says, I won't back down. You know that song? No, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can lead me up to the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Right? It takes courage to stand for something. Somebody said this to me, and I've never forgotten it, boys. Listen to it. Remember, it's a great quote. If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. So what do you stand for in your life? Oh, Mr. Bogle, Albert, I'm thinking about maybe this Christian. I think it's quite good, but you know what I mean? It's hard. Exactly. But that's what makes you a man. That's what makes you a woman. That's what makes you, gives you backbone to stand for something that you believe in and not to back down. You can take me up to the gates of hell, but I won't back down because I know where I'm standing is true. And that's what soldiers do. And certainly in those olden days, a soldier couldn't back down. He was confronted with a sword in his hand and he had to fight the enemy. And he knew he might lose his life. And even in today's world, many of our soldiers, and next week we're coming back to think about this, and I think it's important that we all come back. We don't just come for some of the services, but especially next week, I think everybody around the country should be involved in a remembrance service. Even if you don't believe, you should at least have the grace to remember those who lay their life down in order that we might have freedom. And you might say, well, what is freedom? What are they fighting for? At the end of the day, these people often are giving their life in a cause. We need to see what the soldier does. And it's not justifying war or highlighting the bravery of war. It's just saying there are people with great courage who are prepared to give their life for a cause. Why don't you give your life for the greatest cause of all, Jesus Christ? That's what I've tried to do, give my life to Christ. When I was a wee boy of 7, I became a Christian. And it was the hardest thing in the world to keep to that. It's the hardest thing in the world to do it when you're young. But to stick with it through thick and thin, and when people laugh at you, to say, I don't care because I know that I'm going the right direction. Don't back down. Don't give up on what you've got. Don't trade it for something that doesn't matter. And will you always remember this quote from this session? If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for. If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for. We don't stand for nothing. We stand sure and steadfast, don't we? Are we? Come on, I want to hear a wee bit of the. This is the coach speaking here. This is the motivational team spirit. Come on. We don't stand for nothing, do we? Oh, what? What? Can you imagine me, the coach in America? I think I'd go down better in America with these American baseball games. Come on, guys, you see. We don't stand for anything, do we? No. Who do we stand for? Jesus. Good. You got it right. And you're the BB captain. Glad. Exactly. We stand firm on a rock that doesn't perish. A rock that holds us firm. That's where we're going with this. That's what we're thinking about being soldiers. Not in order that we just fight to kill people, but we fight, we pick up that whole area of endurance, standing for something that's worthwhile in order that we can deliver something that makes a difference in our lives. And we are so proud of all of you because all of you guys, you've got great, wonderful, you're doing great things. I'm not even saying you get great potential. You are good the way you are just now because God is using you. And if you offer your life and continue to offer your life, God will use you in amazing ways. Bringing a pal to the Boys Brigade, that's the biggest thing you could ever do. Ask a mate to come. If it's such a good thing, ask a friend to come. And that's the same with us in church. When was the last time you asked your friend to come to church? When was the last time you said, do you know what? I'll come and pick you up on Sunday morning and we'll go out for a bite to eat afterwards. People just don't turn up to church on their own. They need a wee reason to come and they need somebody to bring them. Because we're all just human beings. We don't like going into places that we don't know anyone. And it's the same with the Boys Brigade. Standing for something that means something. We're not going to back down and we're going to sing our next hymn.
Okay, boys, following on from Albert's talk today, we're talking about soldiers and athletes in particular. Today I want to talk to you about an event that's happening next year. Can anybody tell me, it's how many miles are we here? Quite a few miles. It's happening about July next year. What would it be? Somebody at the back there.
The Olympics.
The Olympics, that's right. The Olympic Games, coming to London 2012. Can anybody tell me when the Olympics was last in London? Adults included here. It's been twice in London. When was the last time it was in London? 48, that's right. Before that? 08, did somebody say? Well done. But I want to help with some of the boys today, though, to do this address. So I'm needing 7 boys, so I spoke to some prior to it. Scott, you come. And the guys in the front row here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I need 7. When I was doing my research for this... the children's address, quite enlightening about the Olympic flag. So I'm going to try and reenact the Olympic flag for you using drum skins. You might say, how's he going to do that? My wife said to me last night, where did you get all these drum skins? I said, well, I'm a drummer. So I'll try and reenact it for you. So if I can get 2 boys to start with. So this is the background to the flag, and actually this is a colour, I didn't realise that. There's 6 colours to the Olympic flag, and I'm like, 6 colours? I'm sitting scratching my head, saying, 6 colours, but forgetting that white is a colour. So white is the background for the Olympic flag. Now we're going to see how we can rearrange ourselves, There's 5 different colours in the flag, so take a drum skin each, boys. So there's different colours within the Olympic flag, as I said. So what I need first is, I need somebody with blue here. So blue, you can just stand right in front of you. And then yellow after that. Then the black. And then we need the green. Yep, that's down. Well done, Johnny. And if you go across a wee bit, go across a wee bit. Move in a wee bit closer. And red is far left. And this is the Olympic flag. So this is a question to the boys only here. Can anybody tell me what the 5 colours represent? What do the 5 colours represent? Anybody an idea?
Continents.
Well done, well done. So a starter for 10 here. Can you name the 5?
Africa.
Well done.
Oh, there are all of them. Right.
Aye.
Africa. Oceania.
Right, that's the one I've got.
Is it no? Europe.
That's it. I'll move to somebody else. Anybody?
America.
That's it. America. Anybody else?
Asia.
Asia. There's one more. Did we cover? There's one more. Kangaroo.
Australia.
I gave him a clue there. Did you hear it? Kangaroo. None of the colours represent any of the particular continents, but it's just a fact. Can anybody tell me why there are all these different colours? Why is it red, yellow, black, and green, and blue? What signifies the colours? Any idea, anybody? See, this was quite enlightening for me when I did the research on this, because I wasn't aware. No. Well done, David. The colours of all these are in every country's flag. One of these colours at least are in everybody's flag. And I say the Olympics is going to be a great thing for us to have the Olympics in the UK next year. Hopefully some people have managed to get to it as well. Olympic flame is going to be coming through Scotland as well. And it's true, through history, as Albert said, lives of Olympic competitors have served to inspire us and to challenge us on a personal level. You know, our faith is strengthened by the athlete role models as well, in society as well. And you'll find lots of these inspiring Christian stories about the faith profiles on the web. And just like the athlete, every athlete, there's going to be about 23,000 athletes in London for the Olympics and the Paralympics, boys. Philippians 3 verse 14 says that we're going to press on towards the goal to win the prize. But that prize is not a gold medal, guys. The prize is God has called us heavenwards in Christ Jesus. This let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, it's so easy to follow the wide road and take the easy way. We are faced with challenges in our lives every day. And it can be a lonely place when we choose a path. It's only when we realise that God is with us as our comforter, strength and guide. We can overcome the urge to stray towards the wide path. When we are walking together with God, we can find a deeper faith that can overcome any distractions that would tempt us off the path. Often we cannot see the narrow path because it's overgrown. Lord, open our eyes, hearts and minds so that we can see Jesus. Let us all take the narrow path and bring along many friends with us so we might praise God and enjoy him forever. Amen. Well done. What do you think? The flag, was the flag all right? Was it not too bad? For drumskins, thanks.
Thinking about life as the struggle, the fight, standing up for right, not backing down. Then Craig talking to us there about the challenge of running in a race and being able to get yourself prepared at that physical level so as you can win, and the discipline that's involved in all that. But life is more than that too. Life is like a bit like a dance. It's a bit like Strictly Come Dancing, because there are many aspects to dancing. Some dances are slow and smooth, and some dances are a quick step. Some dances are fast moving. Some are slow. Some are sad. Some are jolly and happy. And life's like that. And all of us, as we make our moves, if you can imagine your life as a dance, so you start thinking, what's it been like so far? And some of you maybe are going through and say, oh, I've had this slow waltz for the last 50 years. I'm looking for something more. Someone's saying, oh, my life's been a Charleston for the last 30 years and I want something else. Or you might say, well, my life's had ups and downs. Our life is like a dance, but it's more than that. It's like a dance in which we all move together. It's not just two people. It's a dance that includes us all. And we're all dancing. And there's someone at the center of it all. And we believe it's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives, making a huge movement as we all move together and as we dance, a whole life as a dance. And that's what this song is about. We're going to sing Lord of the Dance. You're the Lord of our life. You're Lord of the dance, the movements I make. And I'm so delighted that you are here in the midst of it all. So as we hear all about the struggle, about standing up firm and doing all these things, we also need to remind ourselves of the joy of living, that God wants us to enjoy life, because you only have one. So enjoy it. Let's stand and sing.
It's time now for all of us to make our commitment to one another. And that includes the congregation, it includes the officers, it includes the Boys Brigade. And I invite us all to be part of this service of commitment. And especially too for parents, because we really know that, I know we can't force the boys to go, but sometimes our mums can say, we used to say to Stephen, you started this term, you made a start. If you're going to give up at least
Have the grace to finish to the end of the season. And of course, when it came to the end of the season, you quite enjoyed it because you got badges. Walter had, and it was never manipulated, but Walter had got him a badge or something like that, and he thought, he's quite good. And you start again. See, boys, that's the con. That's how they try and con you to get you to stay on. It's not really. We love seeing you here. And it's such a privilege. I was saying to Walter, and I've said this to you before, I think this is one of the best group of boys we've ever had. I think you're actually the best group of boys we've ever had. Because you just are so well-mannered, and you work so well together, and you're working hard to make a difference. And I think you're just such a credit to your mums and dads as well. So thank you, all of you, for bringing your children, for your boys being here, grannies and grandpas and the congregation. We have got wonderful opportunities working with the Boys Brigade to make a difference in boys' lives. And also, we hope, in your family's life. And that's what church is about, being a place where people can feel welcome and feel part of something good and worthwhile. That's a picture of a harvest. But what you don't see is what went before it. The waiting time, the planting. And what the Apostle Paul says, if you're a Christian or a follower of Jesus, you're going to plant seed. And sometimes you're going to think that seed's not happening. There's nothing growing. If you're to go every day and look after you've planted the seed, you'll never see it growing because it's hidden. But through time, that seed begins to grow, becomes a crop and a harvest that can be harvested. A word to parents. Sometimes you think nobody's listening to you. They're not maybe listening to you, but do you know what they're doing? They're watching you. It's how you live. It's the way you talk on the phone to your friends. See, if you're always a gossip, you're teaching your children to be gossips, aren't you? If you have no faith and you never pray, you're teaching your children to have no faith and to never pray. If you're out working so hard every day in life, you have no time for your children. You're teaching your children that when they grow up, they have to have no time for their children because you're so busy working. That's what you're teaching them. You don't need to say it. It's what you do. If you're caring and loving to your mother and she's elderly and you make time for her and you're always there to look after her, you're teaching your children to care for the elderly and that they're important. If you take time to come and worship God in God's house and make it a priority in your life, even more important than going to the shops, even more important than doing your shopping, you're teaching your children, this is how it should be. And even when your children don't come, they're learning. Your grandchildren are seeing. You're setting an example. And one day you're going to see some of that sowing coming to fruition. You see, the Bible says what you sow is what you reap. So you see, if you reap, if you sow anger, if you sow bitterness, if you sow always get your own back, if you sow all that into your life, you're sowing it into your children. And one day you will see bitterness and anger and trouble all coming out of your children because you've sowed that into them. But if you sow goodness, if you sow love, if you sow kindness, if you sow Christ into your children, one day you will see Christ in your child. This is not, as they say, rocket science. I'm told anyway rocket science isn't very difficult. So the scientists tell me anyway. It's just common sense. Let's have a harvest. Let's be able to say there's a harvest happening. And if you're downhearted today and if you feel, but Albert, it doesn't look like that in my life and I've tried so hard, wait. The harvest has not been completed yet. The harvest has not been completed yet. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. Because some of your seeds are going to come. Never give up sowing. Never. I often walk along to church on a Sunday, believe it or not. And sometimes during the week I walk along the road. And I'm always impressed with these amazing trees on Grange Terrace. Don't you love them? And I think to myself, I wonder who planted them. They planted them knowing that they weren't always going to see the results. But they still planted them. What are you going to leave behind? What are you going to give? What are you going to hold on to? Well, you can't hold on to anything anyway. Let's look for the harvest. And that's what Paul is saying in this amazing passage in Timothy. Stand firm. Don't give up. Get ready for the race. Lay aside all the things that hold you back and be focused on what life's about. And be patient, because it takes time for the harvest to grow, but it surely will. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I do. And you guys, I hope that you will hear what I've said today. Let the seed grow in you, so that good soil, because you're good soil. Let the seed grow in you. And who knows what some of you one day will do. It's amazing what some of you can do even when you're young. Don't let anyone tell you you've got to wait till you're an old guy like my age before you do something. When I was 15, I started one of the first Christian rock bands in Scotland. When I was 15, I was speaking to people about Jesus. You don't need to be old to change the world. When I was 15, I was running the first youth club in our church with 70 teenagers in it. No health and safety in those days. The Kirk session closed it down after 2 years because somebody got stabbed. Young people can do so much. You're not children. Especially those of you who are junior leaders, take responsibility. Say to Walter and to David and to Neil, I can do that. Can I do that for you? I'll do it. And even if you make mistakes, boys, they'll be quite happy if you just want to say, I could do that. And I know that that's what they want to do. I don't even need to tell them, let the boys do that. They want you to grow, don't they? You know that. They want to encourage you. And when you're younger, don't think in the junior section that you can't say the prayer or you can't lead in your junior section. Because when I was some of your age, I was leading the prayers. You don't need to be an old minister to do it. Young people, children can do it. And parents, let your children say the prayer sometimes at home. And if you don't say grace around the table, start it today. And say, do you know what? We'll start grace today. Will you say the grace and get the boys to say it or girls to say it? It's a wee simple thing, but it puts a marker down. We're different. We want to follow Jesus.